أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا سخرنا الجبال معه يسبحن بالعشي والإشراق والطير محشورة كل له أواب وشددنا ملكه وآتيناه الحكمة وفصل الخطاب. صدق الله العظيم. The discussion was about Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala said to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Isbir ala ma yaqulun wazkur abdana Dawood adhal aid innahu awwab. That all these things of the Quraysh, the comments that they are making, the taunts, whatever else, just make sabr on that and remember our servant Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, person who had given great might and strength and who was ever turning to Allah Ta'ala. There's a very great lesson in this for us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the one hand, is being told, you make sabr on what these people are doing, the Quraysh are doing. And then in that same line, in the same aspect, Allah says, remember Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. So what is the link? Very simple, very straightforward. This is the lesson the Quran Sharif is giving us, that in order to be able to make sabr on what is required, and likewise to motivate us in other aspects that we should be motivated in. So the motivation comes from turning our attention to those who Allah Ta'ala blessed with that kind of sabr. If it's a matter of sabr, it's a matter of shukr, then those who Allah blessed with shukr. Basically, the message is that Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, mashallah, displayed this tremendous fortitude, steadfastness, sabr. So obviously Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's rank was highest, but the Quran Sharif is giving a prescription that in order to gain that sabr that is required, then turn the attention to these personalities who have passed. So likewise for us, we want to find that motivation, find that courage to undertake what we are supposed to do. Then we have to turn our attention to the Mubarak life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and then the Sahaba Ikram, and then the pious personalities of the Ummah whom Allah Ta'ala blessed with these noble and beautiful qualities. The reading of their biographies, of their lives, of the incidents that passed in their lives, all this has a very great impact on the heart. It strengthens the heart tremendously. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, this is his statement, that al-hikayat jundum min junudillah. Hikayat, these anecdotes, these stories, referring to the stories of the pious, the incidents of their lives, when something happened, how they reacted, when some situation came up, how they made sabr, what was their manner of dealing with situations, all the different incidents in their lives. One is we read things as a theory, so the theory is also very important, and obviously, especially where there's various injunctions applicable to something, that those injunctions have to be learned directly. But the practical implementation of this we see in the lives of the pious. And that is what helps a person to fully understand the injunctions also, and fully understand the theory, when he sees how these personalities practically lived it. How they practically demonstrated those injunctions in the situation that suddenly came upon them. So here also is the same aspect that Allah Ta'ala is giving this lesson, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being the greatest of all the Anbiya and the messengers of Allah Ta'ala, he's being told that you turn your attention to remember Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam and how he remained very steadfast. Then about Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala says, enumerating his favors on Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, inna sakharna al-jibala ma'ahu yusabbihna bil-ashiyyi wal-ishraq. That we subjugated the mountains, that they used to engage with him in the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala, in glorifying Allah Ta'ala, in hymning the praises of Allah Ta'ala, yusabbihna the tasbih, that they were glorifying Allah Ta'ala, bil-ashi wal-ishraq, in the evenings and in the mornings. So Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam was obviously engaging in the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala in these times. Apart from other times, these were specific times that he had dedicated. He had dedicated for the tasbih of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, for the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala had subjugated the mountains to join him in this recitation of tasbih. So in other words, the mountains would also join him. They would also collectively engage in this tasbih together with Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. One is that every makhluk of Allah Ta'ala is engaged in the tasbih and glorification of Allah Ta'ala. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِحَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says every thing is in the tasbih and the glorification of Allah Ta'ala, even though you do not understand its tasbih. Whether it's the birds, whether it's some other creation of Allah Ta'ala, everything is engaged. The Quran Sharif is testifying to this. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, anything and everything. How is it engaged in the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala? That's not anything necessary for us to get into that detail. Allah Ta'ala has already declared it, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِحَهُمْ. You don't understand how they are engaged in the tasbih. This is just an incident. One very pious person, some say it was Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayhi, somebody else, Allahu alam. So, in order to, it was a pious person who, in order to bring some thing to eat for his family, so he went to catch some fish. So he took his little daughter along. So now, she was there sitting aside, and he caught a few fish. And then as he caught each fish, he put it into a little basket or something. And then he caught another one, and a third one. Now it was time to leave, because what was necessary for the food of the family was enough. Turned to see, there's nothing in the basket. So he was surprised, what happened to this? Where's the fish gone? So he asked the child, that where's all the fish from here? He said, I threw it in the water. So Ajib, I took all the effort to now catch it for the food of the family, and you took it and threw it back. So she said, well, I heard from you that everything is engaged in the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala, and when it stops making the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala, that's its death. So now you caught this fish, it was going to die here, it means it'll stop making the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala. I don't want to eat something that stops making the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala, so I put it back. That was a child, obviously. But the lesson in this was, that this was the environment in which she was grown. Not that this was some mas'ala. Allah Ta'ala made that halal, that even without slaughter, that fish would be halal to consume. And other animals, Allah made it halal after it being slaughtered in the correct manner. Allah provided that for the food of mankind. So that's not a mas'ala, that's not something that now has to be applied as some rule. But that was a child's thinking. But the child's thinking in that environment that she was exposed to, where this remembrance of Allah Ta'ala was so permeated in her heart and mind already, that she felt, no, if something, well, that's what she understood and heard, that if something now dies, then it stops the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala. So now we're going to consume something that has become ghafil. Something that has become heedless now. That's not a mas'ala, there's not anything to do with a fatwa or anything. That was a child's thinking. So now if that is ghafil, we're going to consume it, we might become ghafil. Whereas that's not the case, when something has been acquired in a halal way, or if an animal has been slaughtered correctly, then that is halal tayyib. But as a general lesson, that what we consume does have an impact on us. Not that if that was slaughtered in a halal way, now it stopped making tasbih, so now a person will become ghafil of that. But if something is not clearly tayyib, it's not fully, there's no clarity on it, there's some element of doubt in it, and a person goes ahead and without any care, he's now just taking chances. That is very dangerous, because what we consume has an impact on us. And therefore in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala has commanded the messengers, Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu min at-tayyibat wa'amalu saliha. Kulu min at-tayyibat, as mentioned earlier today, that these links are not just random. These things are not mentioned side by side. This is kalam of Allah Ta'ala. So there's a direct link. So the direct link is kulu min at-tayyibat, that consuming what is pure, what is halal and tayyib, this has an impact on what amal a person does. Wa'amalu saliha is issuing forth from kulu min at-tayyibat. So the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, the Rasuls of Allah Ta'ala, they were on the highest level. But Allah is addressing them to show the importance to us. That look, if I am addressing the Rasuls in this manner, that you must be conscious about tayyibat, which they would always have been ever conscious about. But Allah is addressing them to give the lesson to us. That if the Rasuls are being addressed in this manner, so what care and caution, they are masoom. And if perchance that there was something not on the highest level of tayyib came around also, it wouldn't have affected them in any way, because they are masoom. But that they were obviously of the highest level of caution in it. But we are not anywhere close to being masoom. We are very weak and fallible. So if they were addressed in that manner, what is the care we are supposed to take? So kulu min at-tayyibat has an impact on wa'amalu saliha, meaning righteous actions stem from good consumption. Because that becomes the blood. When a person eats something, that is converted eventually into the blood. And the blood is the life system of the human being. That then feeds the heart. The heart is pumping that blood, but it's also feeding of that blood. So that's the physical heart. But now the spiritual self is linked to this physical self. So now the person who has consumed something that is contaminated in some way, so that blood is going to be contaminated spiritually. And then that spiritual heart will be contaminated. And the heart is king. So now then all kinds of evil thoughts, because it contaminated, it spiritually contaminated blood, it contaminated the spiritual heart. Now that contaminated heart only can think contaminated things. It starts thinking all, planning all kinds of sin. Other evil thoughts just keep flooding the mind and heart. So many a times, many people find a lot of issue with wasawis of another level. Every person experiences wasawis. Shaitan, that's his job. But where it comes on a very intense level, so it's not the only issue. Sometimes it's just that the person has been entertaining the wasawis. And when he entertains it, and he succumbs to it, then it gets stronger in him. And over time, then this becomes a very severe problem. So the ilaj and the treatment of the wasawis is to ignore it. But then this is another. So one is wasawis, every human being, and people who are already steeped in sin, they don't get wasawis often. Because shaitan says, this person, I don't need to do anything further, he's already there. Unfortunately, that person, he himself has become the agent of shaitan, he's deviating others. But a person who's trying to be on the right path, person who's trying to be cautious, trying to adopt taqwa, so shaitan will keep trying to whisper something or the other to deviate him. So the ilaj and the treatment of it is to simply ignore it. And we discussed this about just turning the attention to something positive, to the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, to the remembrance of death, to thinking about the qabr, etc. So that is one level that is part of almost every person. But this that becomes a flood of wasawis with severe intensity, and it's not that a person has been entertaining this. Then one of the things to look at is not necessarily the only reason. One of the things to ponder over and to check, that are we consuming everything that's fully above board? Many a times, things are taken for granted. Not that a person deliberately consumes things that he knows is not in order. MashaAllah, a person who's conscious of deen, who has that consciousness of halal and haram, he doesn't deliberately go in. He knows something is contaminated here, something is not halal. He won't do this. But unfortunately, we sometimes take things for granted. There's a halal sign somewhere, so it must be fine. Every halal sign doesn't mean everything under it is fine. We need to be sure. Because it is not a secondary matter. What we consume is very, very crucial. So especially in the times that we are in, with this eating out culture, and this has become the norm. Come the weekend, so some homes, they say that there's a signboard, their kitchen closed. We'll resume work on Monday morning. So that's not the culture that was always there. This is some alien culture. It's come from somewhere else. But now that has given rise to this new culture of eating out, and that has become like part of the lifestyle. And without that, it's like somebody now didn't go eat out for the week or so, then somehow he feels, he says, he's undernourished or suffering malnutrition. But that's not malnutrition. That is where sometimes where all the problems are coming from. So in any case, the point is that we have to be very cautious. We don't jump to conclusions about anybody or any space, anything that is any establishment. We need to be sure about what we're saying also, but at the same time we rather be cautious. If due to abundance of caution a person refrained from something, what harm he did to himself? But if he took a chance and he indulged in it, and there was some thought now that I'm not sure 100%, and he took a chance, and it then turned out that there was a problem, it's already gone into his system. What is he going to do about it? And if later on it turned out, no, there was nothing wrong with it, but he had avoided it, so then to what harm happened? He avoided it, and it was fine, it was 100%, but he didn't have it, so what? If he didn't have it, nothing lost. All that got lost was some little bit taste. But unfortunately, due to chasing that taste sometimes, we're taking chances, we're cutting corners. But then a person gets afflicted with these issues, that wasawi has come to another intense level. Now that inclination towards that tilawat, that zikr, that salah with jama'ah, that suddenly is all just dying around. And now you just say, I don't know what happened. But many a times we don't know what happened, we're not checking what we're eating. We're not checking where we're eating. So in any case, coming back to what we were discussing here, that all the creation of Allah Ta'ala are all engaged in Allah Ta'ala's tasbih. So what is the speciality that is being referred to here? That Allah Ta'ala says, we subjugated the mountains and they were jointly engaged in the tasbih with Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is the speciality, that this was a mu'jiza of his. All the creation are engaged in tasbih, but we can't perceive it. But here this was very manifest, that the mountain is also making tasbih. And then further Allah Ta'ala says, وَالطَّيْرَ مَحْشُورًا. And all the birds were also mustered up together. And all where one is, we hear the chirping of the birds. We have no idea which bird is engaged in which tasbih. We just hear the chirping. But this was not just some chirping sound that was being heard. This was the tasbih that they were engaged in which was being heard. And they were jointly making this tasbih with Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. So this was a mu'jiza. This was a miracle. That now suddenly we hear the pillars in the masjid now, we hear the sound of tasbih emanating from it. Obviously this will be something miraculous. Now the whole mountains, the mountains around are engaged in tasbih. And then the birds in flocks are all there, and they are engaging in this tasbih. It's not just some chirping sound, it's a tasbih that is being heard. So this was a mu'jiza. But then together with that, this was a mu'jiza. This was a special gift to Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. But in this, the one point that Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi writes in Ma'arif al-Quran, that there was a message in this, that when this tasbih, the zikr of Allah Ta'ala is done jointly. Jointly doesn't always have to be collectively. One is collective in the sense that jointly, for ta'aleem sake now, we do it sometimes, everybody joins in. But people are gathered in the same place, each one is engaged in his own tasbih, in his own zikr. Somebody is making the zikr of la ilaha illallah at that time. Somebody is engaged in some zikr of Allah. Somebody is making subhanallah. Somebody, whatever tasbih, whatever zikr somebody is engaged in. But all are gathered in the same place at one time. And all are engaged in the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This has a very great impact on everybody. Now in there, somebody, mashallah, might be of a caliber that their zikr is very greatly accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Somebody might unfortunately not be of that caliber. And then somebody may have come there for some just other purpose, and so he just joined in, but his heart is not there, his mind is not there, just his tongue is maybe repeating some things. So obviously that's on a very low level comparatively. But when everybody is making the zikr of Allah Ta'ala in the same time, in the same place, each one is making his zikr. But whoever's zikr has reached that level of acceptance, inshallah the barakat of that will reach everybody. That will impact on everybody's heart. So many a times a person, let alone making zikr half-heartedly in some gathering, he was just simply sitting silently there. He was making no zikr. But there was a gathering of zikr, people engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. He was just seated there without even making any zikr himself. But when he wakes up from that gathering, there'll be something different in his heart. If it was very short, he may not perceive it, he may not realize it, but it's there. As long as he's not being negative, he's not being averse, he didn't come there to come and now find fault with anybody. He came blank, just without an open, he came with an open mind, no issue. He just sat quietly and he left. He cannot leave without having taken some benefit. That's the effect of the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So on that note, this should be something we should try in our own environments, in our homes or in our masajid, wherever, that we try to create some kind of environment. Few people, two or three people even, that we try to fix up some time together. Okay, after Fajr, we'll sit outside in one corner. Each one will engage in his own tasbih, in his own zikr, tilawat. But for some duration of time, all are engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. This becomes a support for everyone also. That now there's a fixed time, and others are also doing the same. They also engage in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So it becomes a support to one another. And it creates an environment. It makes it much more easier to keep consistent then, because there's some structure. When there is some structure for something, it makes it easier to maintain it. And when it's random, there isn't any structure, then it sometimes happens, sometimes gets missed, and when it gets missed, it opens the door to missing it. So one day now the person says, okay, tomorrow. This tomorrow also sometimes doesn't come then. Like in the afternoon we discussed one tomorrow, that credit tomorrow, that tomorrow doesn't come. So then when a person out of laziness, one is out of some genuine need, some urgent work, whatever was genuinely valid to postpone the zikr, the tasbihat, out of sheer laziness, out of laziness at tomorrow, that tomorrow sometimes doesn't come then. Because that tomorrow also said, okay, one more day now, I'll start off tomorrow. He says, well, you see, actually it's Friday is coming up, Friday is, mashallah, Jum'ah, I'll start off from Jumu'ah. Once that procrastination starts, sometimes that door of missing it out gets thrown so wide open, it becomes hard to bring it back. And therefore, one should try his utmost never ever to miss his tasbihat, his dhikr, tilawat. Sometimes there is some valid reason. Valid reason is illness, some other issue which is valid. Even then do something. Unable to do everything, do something. Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahmatullah alayhi was one of the very senior khulafa of Hazrat Ma'ashu Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. His advice is do half. You can't do the whole thing, do half. It's a valid reason, do half. You can't do half, do quarter. As you go further to say you can't do quarter, do 10% also. And if not even that, do even part of that. But don't ever leave it out entirely. Because when it is omitted entirely, then the barakat of that amal then leaves also. If it's totally valid, person is excused, but then it opens the door to leaving it out. So try to avoid, even where it is valid, avoid totally leaving it out. Engage in some extent that will inshallah keep the continuity. And that continuity has tremendous barakah in it. أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَا دِيمَ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The most beloved of actions to Allah Ta'ala is where there is this consistency, this continuity, even though it might be little. This is referring to obviously the nawafil, etc. So this is the aspect Allah Ta'ala says that we subjugated the mountains and even the birds, وَالطَّيْرَ مَحْشُورَ كُلُّ لَّهُ أَوَّابُ. All were with him, turning to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and engaging in the tasbih and zikr of Allah Ta'ala. In this is also the lesson, bil ashiyi wal ishraq, evening, morning. These are specific times for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. We should be all the time in some remembrance or the other, but dedicated time for remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, they should be in these times of the day. Unfortunately, the mornings, one is Fajr Salah, sometimes is in danger. MashaAllah, when Fajr Salah is being performed regularly also, then many a person, after Fajr, people say that the best sleep comes either before Fajr or then after Fajr. Whereas this is a time of barakah. Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. This is the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. Ya Allah, give my ummah barakah in their mornings. What can be achieved in the work of the morning can't be achieved later. That barakah, that blessings, that impact on the heart. Because it's everything still fresh. The day hasn't started, so the heart and mind is still clear, so the heart can absorb better. Even a person, for example, doing hifz, learning the Quran Sharif, what he can learn in the early morning is difficult to learn at other times of the day, to get that production. And likewise, even after having completed whatever the ma'amulat are, the work is in terms of our tasbihat, zikr, even the work of the day, the tasks of the day, many people start the day off at 10 o'clock and 9 o'clock and whatever. But what work can be achieved in the early part of the morning, you can't get that kind of production later in the day. What will be done in the 1 hour in the morning might take far more time to do that same amount of work later in the day. Because this is the barakat of that time of the morning. Due to the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The habit of sleeping immediately after Fajr is not a healthy habit. From a dini perspective also, even physically too is not good. But especially from a dini wise, that should be avoided. If a person is already accustomed to that, should gradually try to break that by not immediately rushing to go and sleep. First say, 10 minutes I'm going to make some tilawat, zikr, tasbihat, after 10 minutes. So first 10 minutes, then 15 minutes, gradually till ishraq, to try to keep that for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. That's a very special time. For this, right in this ayat of the Quran Sharif that is highlighted, bil ashiyi wal ishraq. Ishraq is the time when the sun has now risen and spread. This is also termed as the time of duha. Now, the muhaddithin, they have categorized one salah of that day, which is the salah of duha. Inshallah, we'll discuss some virtue of that tomorrow. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah.